the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel that pain is best served funny. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
Welcome to Worst Ever fucking podcast.
Listen, you can't get upset if you don't know we're recording.
You can't introduce me. I mean, you can't introduce a show when I'm turned my head so I don't see you're about to start.
I can do whatever I want. It's my show.
It's our show.
Is it though?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, I think I get the best fan mail ever. Everyone wants to work with me.
People hate you.
I know, but that's the best shit ever, Christine.
People are like, Christine's so nice. But, Allah, stop talking.
Well, because I get into it.
Well,
you
listen.
Don't. You're too polite.
That's why it works.
No, like the Jackie Tone episode. Right?
What about it?
Oh, like when I went in on Jackie Tone and was like, there's only one episode of your series that bothered me. It bothered you too, and you didn't say a fucking thing.
Because I was letting you have the moment. It's called
you
a give and take.
I was like, where's my support?
Oh, you wanted me to go on, you wanted me to bash it with you.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I loved the show. It was just that one episode.
Listen, you wouldn't know about the show if it wasn't for me. I was like, my friend Jackie in the show, you're like, I've never watched Glow, and then you went crazy.
Binged.
For it. Binged.
Love it.
Well, let's talk about something else.
Mark Maron, genius.
Genius.
And you should listen to his podcast too, even though ours is better. Love you, Mark.
Let's talk about the fact that you forgot my 40th birthday.
Let's talk about the fact that I forgot your 40th birthday because my aunt died.
Well, that's a good excuse.
Okay. Sorry that I had to pack up on a Tuesday night to fly to New Orleans on a Wednesday morning to watch a woman that I've known all my life pass away right in front of me. And then at the end of her death, had to literally carry her body onto a metal thing so that the women can wash her in the Islamic religion. I'm sorry, how was your 40th birthday?
Wow, you really went dark on that.
Just letting you know.
You're really bringing it down.
Okay.
That's intense.
Yeah, I'm still, I have nightmares from it.
Is that the first time you've had to do that for a family member?
I was stuck in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like her son was running late, and all the guys. So I got there to where the hearse arrived. Uh-huh. And then like in Arabic, the one guy in the sheikh came up to me, goes, okay, come help us with pick up. And I was like literally lifting my aunt in a white sheet, carrying her and putting her.
That's so intense.
Yeah. Like to feel that dead weight, knowing that you're holding a dead body.
Oh my God.
Plus, I haven't worked out in years, and my arms are killing me.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Just saying. So how was your 40th birthday?
It was fine.
Speaking of death.
Oh, wow. It was great. My husband took me to an escape room.
Are you sure that was on purpose? Or what? I mean,
no,
was he trying to, or did he want you to escape?
Here's what's funny about it. So he did not tell me what we were doing. And I think that's part of the genius. When you have zero expectation about something, and I actually started to think, oh God, maybe I should have planned this because God knows what this night's going to turn out to be like. It was so much fun because I didn't know what we were doing. So I get in the car, we go down the street, we pick up a friend of mine who's literally just like walking on the side of the road. I'm like, what is Alex doing on the side of the road?
Alex Ellis?
Yes.
Can't stand her.
Okay, well, he picks her up.
Go ahead.
And then we go to this weird part of Koreatown, like really kind of sketchy part of Koreatown.
I used to live there.
Exactly. No longer.
Right.
No parking.
I still have PTSD from the parking. I'm afraid to leave my house, even though I can park now. Go ahead.
So we go back into a back alley and park in this weird alley next to like a sex shop called Secrets. And I'm like, are we going to Secrets? And
oh,
Brandon
wow.
goes, yeah, we're going to Secrets. And then I look at Alex and I'm like, then why is she here?
Oh, God.
And he's like, all right, just chill out for a second. I can tell he's like texting on his phone. There's like something going on, right? So we walk into Secrets and I'm like, this isn't a real sex shop. Something's going on. This is a cover. This is like the coolest restaurant in LA or something. So we walk in, we turn the corner, and my friend Dave is standing in the vibrator section with two balloons. And it's just like, happy birthday. I'm like, what are you doing here? And I'm like hugging him. And, you know, I look over at the guy behind the counter and I see him and he looks really pissed. I'm like, oh no, it's a real sex shop. We should probably walk out. We walked out. I'm like, so what are we really doing? And Brandon's like, actually, we're going to an escape room and it's across the parking lot. I just had a
Do you think I would do well at the escape room?
I think you would love it. Have you ever done one?
No, but I've wanted to do one.
You would love it. Like I loved it because I was very competitive about trying to get through it and to get all the clues correct and get into the next room.
Right.
I loved it. It was really fun.
Do you wear outfits?
You can. I started to put on a hat, and then I got a little sketched out about wearing a hat.
See, I just
so I put on like a weird blanket, and I was like, I was an explorer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is there pictures?
Yeah.
Is there
they don't
video?
Let you take pictures inside of it.
Oh.
You can take pictures after.
Yeah.
Because they don't want
to give
it away.
To ruin the escape.
Right.
All right. Well,
it was fun. And it's only an hour. If you can't get through it in an hour, then they, you know.
Kick you out.
Yeah, basically. But there was one point at which the wall was like we all got into a little room and we had to solve a puzzle and the wall started to close in on us. And it was like one of those survivor moments of like, oh my God, we've got to get the puzzle correct, you know. And we came within like inches of the door not opening. It was cool.
Yeah, it sounds great. I'm so glad I wasn't here for your 40th birthday. Thank you, Aunt, for dying. No, I love my Aunt Ataf. That's her name. Ataf.
Ataf.
Yeah. I want you to introduce our next guest.
Yes.
Can you?
Oh, yeah, of course. We've known for years.
Like years.
Her mother is actually responsible for Ala and I meeting, or should I say to blame for Ala and I meeting.
No, but I mean, she's a legend, her mother.
She's a legend. That's
her
right.
Her father's a legend too.
Both are actors, have been for a long time. Her mother, Diane Hill Hardin, had the Young Actors space where Ala and I met.
In the armpit of the valley, Van Nuys. But it was like an escape room. It was like this little black box with these little. It changed my life, that acting studio.
Yeah,
I mean,
everybody went there.
Everyone went there, but it was like the camaraderie of. It's like it reminded me of when I went to school in New York because you know, I went to AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy. So everyone that was there wanted to do that same musical theater or whatever. It was the same thing I found here in LA, which was hard to find. It was that camaraderie, and you became really great friends. I found, you know, some of my best friends out of that whole situation.
Yeah, same. So today on the podcast,
go ahead.
You would know her as Jan from The Office.
Love her as Jan.
You would know her as Tammy from Transparent.
Genius in Transparent, and I can't wait to talk about that show. Go ahead.
Or most recently as Jacqueline Carlisle on Freeform's The Bold Type. She's an Emmy nominee. She's a mother. She's an actress. She's a singer. She's a writer. She's a director. She wears all the hats, people.
She does it all.
The gorgeous Melora Hardin. Welcome.
And the crowd goes wild.
And the crowd goes wild.
Melora, oh my God. Wait, I just saw that also... What's the new show that you're doing on ABC?
The Bold Type?
No, the other one.
I was A Million Little Things. I guess start on that.
It's just a guest star?
Well, I'll probably recur on it next year.
Yeah, it's a character that was sort of controversial, I think, to the storyline or something, because I was reading something.
Maybe.
I was reading something about it.
I think my episode airs on the 21st, so
okay.
I'm not supposed to say anything.
Okay, good. Well, but that's a good little cast.
It's a great cast. I think it's a great show.
Yeah.
I love it. I hadn't seen it, and they sent me all, you know, 10 episodes, and they were like, watch it, see if you want to do this. And I watched all 10 episodes in 3 days, and I was like, I'm in!
Are you
at the position now where it offers?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It's really nice.
I mean, that's what you wanted, right?
That's
what you've worked for your whole career.
Yeah, it's totally what you want.
Well, because knowing you throughout the years, I remember, because we were in acting class together, and then Melora and I were in an improv group together called Achilles Heel, which Christine wasn't good enough to be a part of.
Why weren't you a part of that, actually?
She wasn't good enough.
No, I think she was, actually. She was an amazing improviser.
No, she's an amazing
But she was
actor.
Really busy. Or something.
No.
You were like on a show or something. What the heck were you doing?
I think she was too young.
We were all on shows.
I think she was too young.
No.
Well, because Nicole Tom was
I was like the oldest in the whole group.
Right. You were, yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. You guys were great.
It was an amazing group.
Yeah.
Allah, you're freaking hilarious improviser.
Oh, that's
hilarious.
Sweet.
And you and Chad together were
Chad
like,
Gabriel Schwartzman.
It was unbelievably
my nemesis.
Has he been on your podcast yet?
No, he's not good enough yet.
No, we want to get him.
We want to get him because we have so many stories with him, but it just depends. The fans, if you want to hear about Chad Gabriel Schwartzman, he was.
If they beg.
If they beg. He was on some daytime.
I want you all to know, those of you that are listening, you should beg because these two are freaking hilarious. You guys are unbelievably funny together. I don't know if you're still funny together. You just hate each other too much, but
we don't see
you
each other
were funny together.
He's got life issues. Anyway, so.
But that's what you can talk about together.
But you were always, you were the actor who, Like, you would do multiple pilots during pilot season, and they would never get picked up.
It's true. Yeah, I think I did, like, I think before the off, I mean, I did many that did get picked up for short times, you know?
Right.
I mean, starting with Thunder, which was the series I did when I was 10, which was on for a season. I think we did 16 episodes of that or something. Or my, I don't know. My mom would know everything. She knows everything about my childhood because she was my stage mom. But you know, I think by the time I did The Office, I think that was like number 13.
Jesus.
Sort of like Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck,
it's crazy.
Same thing.
Wow.
He had done many, many also. I think George Clooney too. It's funny. Just people that have been working a super long time. I mean, it makes sense that you're going to have lots and lots. I mean, I started when I was 6 years old, so
I know
it would make sense that I have a lot of failures.
Are you? Well, I wouldn't call them failures, but it must have been. It must have been frustrating as an actor.
I don't know that it was because I was a kid, so I was mostly focused on ballet. You know, acting was sort of my hobby really when I was a kid. I was going to be a ballerina, you know, I was really serious about that. I was totally going to be a ballerina.
That would have been. Can you imagine if Jan wasn't
and
Melora?
My feet would be more fucked up than they already are, which they are super fucked up.
Is your kid, you have kids and they're acting?
I do. I have two beautiful daughters and they're both acting. Yes, wow. They're both working actors already.
That's incredible.
I know.
Did you have any reservation about that at all?
I really didn't because, I mean, I made them beg, you know, I made them wait until they were begging and I didn't ever present it to them. Like, this is a thing you could do. Like, that's how I got into it was I went to my dad's commercial agent when he was dropping off his new headshots and they said, oh, you're cute. Don't you want to do what daddy does? And I was like, yeah. And then I tugged on their sleeves and begged and begged and begged. And eventually they were like, oh, we'll let her go on 10 auditions. And if she doesn't get anything, we'll ease her out of it. Of course, I got the first thing I went on. But my kids, I never really presented it like that. I mean, I think that for them, I have always included them, you know, like they've been on sets, they've been on, you know, they watched me on Broadway and, you know, got to come backstage and all those things that I think excited them. And they're very musical. And so I think all the singing and the dancing and the acting. I don't know. I guess it's a little contagious.
I think so. Definitely.
I think it's a great way to grow up. I mean, the thing is that you become, you work with so many different kinds of people. You meet so many different kinds of people. Talk about having more empathy, you know, than I think a lot of kids do when they grow up in some tiny little town. They never meet a Jewish person. They never meet a, you know, a black person. They never meet a gay person.
Right.
They never meet a... I remember having some of the crew guys were like uber tattooed and looked so scary. And you know what I mean? Remember? They would have like Rips. Patches on their eyes. I mean, they look like full-on pirates, you know? But they were some of the sweetest guys when you're a kid. And it just, it sort of teaches you this like idea of not judging a book by its cover, I think, when you're very young.
Definitely.
You know, everybody's...
Well, and having done it as a child, you did and I did, I think like it really all comes down to what your parents are like. You can have a wonderful experience in this business and not turn out like, you know, the Lindsay Lohans because you have a really grounded force at home. And it's not about being famous, but it's about the work
it's
and
about
it's about enjoying it
and the craft
and having fun with it.
And being a professional too, learning how to be a professional is not a bad thing to learn.
Well,
when you're
also
young.
Lucked out with your mom and father. I mean, Jerry and Diane are very professional, and they made acting fun.
Yes. And they're really talented.
And really talented.
I learned the craft really young. Yeah. And that was really the focus. It was all about being an artist in my family. There was really not much reverence for fame.
Well, your parents were.
I had to actually learn how to embrace that. I really did. That was actually a challenge for me. I had to go to therapy about that. Isn't that funny?
For fame?
Yeah, like how to deal with that? Because see, I like being the person that watches everybody. I like to look.
You like to be the fly on the wall.
I like to be the fly on the wall. Now, not when I'm on stage.
Right.
When I'm on stage, I want everyone looking right at me. I want them to shut the fuck up and I want them to applaud very loudly.
Right.
And give me standing ovations.
She's like me.
But when I'm out in my life in the world, I want to be the one that's like sitting in a coffee shop staring at people and eavesdropping on their conversations.
I'm that person.
But now everybody stares at me.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you. Are you
it's challenging.
So now that with all these roles, obviously hit shows.
Yeah.
You're being recognized.
All the time.
Are you the girl that they're like, I know you from somewhere? Or are they like, Melora Hardin, you're Jan or you're... what's
your
name
Tammy.
From Transparent?
Yeah,
Tammy.
Yeah. And I remember the first time that, that happened when The Office was sort of the most downloaded show on iTunes, which is really what kept The Office going. And I remember someone coming up to me in Whole Foods and saying, "Are you Melora Hardin?" And that was the first time it had shifted from, "You really look like somebody that I've met before," or "Did we go to high school together?" Or
"I know you from somewhere."
"I know you from somewhere." And that was sort of my whole career, was like, right. "I know you from somewhere." And then that moment, I remember that moment turning around and going, "Yes." And they're like, "I love you so much on The Office," you know. Now people absolutely know my name. Yeah,
it's crazy.
They know my name, and they mostly know me from The Office, but I also get lots of things. I mean, I got something a few years ago, somebody following me around Michael's, and it was this guy.
And you're crafting too?
Yeah. You know, I have two daughters, okay. and they were littler at this time. And but yes, I do art and stuff and crafts. Thank you very much when I have time. In any case, this guy walks up to me and I knew he recognized me because you can always tell when people recognize right. you. And he finally comes up to me and he goes, "I just have to tell you, I've seen 40 productions of Les Mis and your rendition of Fantine at the Hollywood Bowl was my favorite." And I literally burst into tears.
Oh, you're kidding. Did you do the musical reading of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the three nights
Richard J.
at
Alexander?
The Hollywood Bowl. Yes, yes.
I auditioned for that.
Amazing. You did?
Yes. Oh. He brought me in. Because I'd worked with him on Streisand.
Of course
so
you had.
So he's like, can you sing? And I was like, yeah, okay. I go, I'm an actor who sings. I'm not like... So he's like, "Will you do this? Would you audition for this?" I was like, "I'll audition, but I don't know if I'm Les Mis
material."
Yeah,
you're not dreaming a dream.
Yeah, I'm like,
but you're maybe joining the parade.
In fact, I have to be honest with you, Richard. It's one of my least favorite musicals of all time.
What?
What?
That's a terrible thing to say.
That is the musical that made me want to do musicals.
I couldn't sit through it. I was like,
"Are you kidding?"
And I had a friend who did the original cast on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, "That was the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen." Like,
oh
it was like,
God,
I hated
you're crazy.
It.
You're a nutball.
It's too long.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it totally spoke to me because at the time that I saw it on Broadway too, when it came there, whenever that was, what was that? Like 1987
or 87, 88,
something
yeah.
like that. And I remember, I was so freaking serious. I mean, maybe you don't remember that about me.
Oh, No, we're going to get into that.
I was so freaking serious. I really thought that I wanted to be a very serious artist.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember watching, and I didn't want to do musicals because they were just so frivolous. And then I saw Les Mis on Broadway and I just, you know, sat on the edge of my seat and I thought, "Oh my God, I want to do that," because it was such a tragedy.
Totally.
And I thought, I want to do a musical tragedy. And then I got to do it.
Well, that's so great.
I got to sing that dream on stage.
My two musicals that sort of were brought me into like one are Fiddler. Like,
okay. Fiddler is amazing. Yes.
And then Once on This Island. I saw the original production of Once on This Island.
I've never seen that.
And it Once on This Island like changed my life musically. I was like, "Whoa, this is what I want to do."
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The music's amazing.
Okay, I'll have to.
The revival is supposed to be even better than the original.
Okay.
But yeah, no, you have a gorgeous voice, so it's inevitable that you were going to do something in that space. I would think, you know,
you've produced your own albums as well.
Yeah.
How many do you have now?
Three.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah, amazing.
No. I mean, you have. I specifically remember, and this always is ingrained in my memory of Melora Hardin. It's so weird. In our acting class, Diane would do a song night every season and it would terrify every actor to go up and do because you had to pick a song that was. You
An
were emotionally
acting song.
Connected. It wasn't about the singing; it was about the acting, and. It, without fail, every single person would get up there and start bawling because it would just connect somewhere. Melora did one of my favorite musicals in the world is Little Shop of Horrors. And Melora did a rendition of Somewhere That's Green, which changed my life because I know that musical so well and I know how it's supposed to be performed and what it means and blah, blah. She took the meaning of that song and totally like flipped it. Like you wouldn't, I was just like, I get chills just thinking about it. I'm not kidding. It
really?
Like, it is ingrained. This is like 15, 20 years ago.
Oh, more, darling.
Yeah. I can't listen to that song the same way anymore because of your version of it. Like
really?
The way that you, I can't even explain the performance. It was like, but I was blown away. I was like going, "Oh my God."
Because I made it tragic.
You made it so tragic.
Right, because that's tragic. What you were trying to do, is just be in a tragic.
Made it so tragic, but it like made sense.
Tragic musicals.
It was fucking crazy. By the way, we curse on this podcast.
Okay, well, I got that, and that's good. You guys are so cute together, by the way. This is insane.
Well, thanks. It's like an oil and vinegar.
I do love
it's
this. A definite, it works anyways, well.
I want to ask you about, because I know you film Bold Type in Montreal.
Yes.
And you've also gone to do Broadway, you know, you've gone to do Chicago and New York. How do you balance that with your kids? Do they come out and visit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when they were littler, you know, when they're little, they're just like little accessories. And I have an incredible husband who...
Who's also an actor.
And a writer. Gilder Jackson. Yeah. He actually plays my husband on The Bold Type, which is super fun.
That's great.
And he's my real husband. In any case, so when they were really little, they would just come everywhere and do everything. And if they couldn't come with Gildert because he was working, the nanny would bring them.
Yeah.
Now that they're older, you know, they have a life
yeah.
and they have a routine and they're teenagers. And so they don't want to spend their whole summer with me in Montreal. Right. They want to spend part of their summer with me, and they do, but they also want to spend part of their summer with their friends. And so, you know, I think I always knew that I was, you know, we're gypsies. We just don't travel in covered wagons anymore. We travel on airplanes and, you know, and so that's kind of the life that I signed up for, and it's the life they signed up for. And I feel like we make it work, and, you know, Gildert's the perfect partner in that. And, it's not always easy, and it's sometimes lonely. And for me, I think it's easier for them when they stay home and they're just in their routine. I think it's harder for me when I'm off by myself in a place, and you know, I did buy a place there, and I love it, and that does help because I'm kind of a nester. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not all glamorous, and it's lonely. And but I have now like a social life there. I have friends outside of work, and that helps a lot to have friends that are not part of work and that kind of thing.
But what happens when your kids are working? Like, do they have on location? I mean, have they gotten jobs away from, like, how does that work?
Yeah, actually, when I, pretty funny to be, I was nominated for an Emmy for Transparent, and I went literally from the Emmy Awards, the next day, I got on a plane with Rory to go to Ireland for 5 weeks to sit around, twiddle my thumbs, and be a stage mom
for five weeks.
So straight from being, you know,
they
Emmy nominated
find a role
actor.
For you in the movie that she was
You know
doing?
What's funny? They actually did feel, I was like, guys, you really should, like, there was like a little part they should have let me do. They didn't, but I of course offered, but they didn't. In any case, they were kicking themselves, I think, once they realized that it was
offer.
Like a silly thing. It was like a reverse offer. Yeah. But you know what? It was incredible for our relationship, for mine and Rory's relationship, because to be with your daughter away, she's doing her first movie, and she turned 15 on that trip. That's a pretty amazing time for a mother-daughter. And also to just really be there for her. That's all I was there for. I was just there to make sure her experience was good. And it was hard for me too, because I wasn't the director. I wasn't the acting coach. I wasn't anything. I was just mom. So I had to kind of step back and sort of, you know, trust, even though, you know, there were things that I could have, I would go over her lines with her, obviously, the night before, and we would talk about choices and stuff. But, you know, there was a director, and I had to just kind of be like, and she would look to me and look to me and look to me. And I finally had to kind of just go in the dressing room so that she would focus on him.
What's the movie called?
Oh, it's called I Kill Giants. It's really cute. It's really great. I love it.
It's come out.
I love it. Yeah, it's out. Okay. You can get it. You can watch it on, I forget where it is now. I mean, they had a small theatrical release, and now it's on... I don't know. Just Google it.
Yeah,
it's on either, like, Amazon or it's on Hulu or it's on
that's
one
crazy.
Of those.
But what happens?
It's really good. She's great.
If she's working away, you're working away. Gilder could be. I mean,
that hasn't happened yet. That hasn't happened yet. That we're all in different locations. But you know, we have a great network of support between friends and family and people we could hire that we love, that love us. You know, like, we have amazing. I've surrounded myself with amazing people. You know, I could call you and be like,
I'd be
Allah.
In.
Yeah.
I'm in. Is there
I know.
A gift
well,
bag?
That's what
is
I'm saying. Yeah.
First class. I'm going to need
per diem. You've been a set sitter before.
I've been a set sitter. I need per diem.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't call him. Don't.
I have a writer. Trust me. I know what I'm
he
doing.
He would be so annoying.
He probably has
And I would have been coaching too. I've been like, do you want to, excuse me, hold.
You're not going to do it like that, are you?
I do that to Alyssa all the time. I'm like, are you going to do it like that? She's like, we would be on the set of Charmed. And I'd like literally be like, hold on a second, guys. And I'd walk up to Alyssa because it was on for 8 seasons. So they knew me on the set. And I'd go, are you going to do it like that?
She's terrible. Like,
oh, I'm the worst. Yeah. That's the best part of me. It's like, yeah, that's the best part.
The best part, is that I'm the worst.
I'm the worst.
Do you like Montreal?
You're the worst part of the podcast. She's the ever part.
Right. She's the ever. That's like, right. She'll go on forever. And yeah. I'm just like, chime in the worst shit ever. Montreal's, that's fun, no?
It's really beautiful city. I
where
love it.
Where is Montreal
I really
in
like,
the scape? But where is it?
It's
in
like
Canada?
In the middle.
It's the east coast of Canada. You
but
know,
not
it's
as not far from as Toronto. Yeah, yeah, not okay. as far as Toronto.
But right. the show takes place, The Bold Type, which mm-hmm. is on Freeform. Takes place in
New
York.
That's
right. So do you do any location stuff in New York?
Like at the end of every season, there's like a little New York day.
Outside stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. The girls are really good on that show.
Aren't they great?
They're really, the show, the chemistry.
Yeah.
Reminds me of sort of like a Charlie's Angels meets a Charmed.
Yeah, I always call them my angels.
and the writing is really good. It's very, I was shocked to, because I,
that was the dog, guys. Dog. Just so you know, that was not a law.
No, they're used
and
to it.
It was not me. And it's still going.
It's fine. He's fine. I was shocked. It's got a lot of adult content.
Yeah.
So, because I assume Freeform, ABC, Disney.
No, no, no. Their shows are definitely geared more towards millennials now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've worked with Katie Stevens before.
Oh, yeah.
We did a musical version of Cruel Intentions here
in
LA.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, because you have a gorgeous voice too, by the way. Why don't we talk about your beautiful
voice? It's not like yours, Melora.
No, it's not. It's not.
No, it's not.
I agree.
She's got, it's like a piercing a little.
No, okay. I don't know about that.
I think you have a great voice.
It's probably like a little gravelly these days because I don't sleep much.
She's an alto.
Yeah, of course.
I've gone from an alto to a baritone.
Yeah.
But it'll get back
up there. You have not gone to a baritone.
No.
Are you an alto?
She's for sure an alto. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love your voice.
That's like a bark.
Yeah. It's a
Oh, God.
I like that at all. That's not true.
No.
I mean, everyone can listen to it. You're going to sing on the show at some point, right? On the podcast?
Oh, probably not.
No, we don't have
song
night.
Just a little bit? Like, why don't we could do one right now. Let's do a little duet.
Oh, God.
I would love to hear this.
I was screaming all week giving birth on television. Can you believe
nice.
That? Yeah. Well, it will eventually be on television.
Okay.
Shonda I don't Rhyme. Know. Shonda
can
Rhyme
I just
show.
Say, can I say something?
Sure.
I don't like that.
Giving birth on television?
I don't like that that's the way they portray birth on television. Because can I tell you, I wasn't screaming when I gave birth. I had 2 home births, ladies and gentlemen.
I know.
I had no drugs.
We want to talk about
I did
that too.
Not scream in either of my fucking births. Did I scream? I did not scream. That is not a thing women do.
You
grunt. You grunt. You make working noises. You're fucking working. They call it. Thank you. Thank you a lot.
Very good.
I was doing a lot of sighing and a lot of breathing and a lot of deep moans.
They don't call it labor for nothing. It is labor. It's hard work.
Literally written and they were like, you need to make the screams longer, is what they kept telling me. Make it like, and then I would get line readings of like, like I was falling off a cliff. I was like, okay.
But, did you tell them? That's
it was a whole
thing. I've had 2 babies Melora, and that's not the way it goes.
We just talked about it. It's a whole, I'm
see,
not here.
That's what I like about being more famous.
Yes. You get to control.
I can say no to those things now. If someone says to me, you know, can you scream when you're having a birth scene? I'll be like, guys, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do it like that. I'm going to do it the way it really is.
Right.
That feels authentic to me.
That feels authentic to my experience. Yeah. Because guess what? Every woman I know who's ever had a baby is not going, that doesn't, it's not the way we do it.
I hope you have to give birth on a million little things so that you can walk in there and be like, listen, I know I'm just guesting here, but I'm not doing it this way.
I don't think her character's going to be giving birth.
No, I don't think so either. I think my character's beyond that. I don't think I'll be giving birth anymore on television or film.
Aren't you lucky?
So I'm beyond that. Or in life for that matter.
So let's talk about your home births. Because I know you had 2 home births.
I did.
Which
beautiful.
I crack up every time you talk about this because I'm going, why would you do that?
Poor why wouldn't Gilbert. You do that? Why wouldn't you do that?
Oh, this one, if you only knew this one, I broke into her first birth. She literally said to me, she texts, she goes, I guess what, I'm going in labor. I go, okay, I'm on my way, you know? And she's like, no.
I'm like, no. Like the water broke, but I'm not even contracting yet.
I have an infection.
So they just want to make sure everything's cool. Like nothing's even happening. Huh. He's like, I'll be there in 20. I'm like, no, that's not a, this is not what I,
you're
no,
not invited.
Not invited.
Private literally, floor. Literally best friends with the nurses, walk in. Like
she's who, like, let you in here? Where's the security in this place?
I was
place?
Like, I found the back door. I literally did find the back elevator and back door and was like, hey guys, I'm here for Christine Lakin. And they're like, oh, okay. And I was like, you guys need any Starbucks? What can I get for you? And they're like, come on in. Da-da-da. Next thing you know, she's like, what are you doing here? Oh
yeah, that's how you did it. You bought them all Starbucks.
100%.
I see, you buttered them up.
She got the best treatment ever. But the point is she wanted to do the whole natural thing, no epidural, which I was like...
Yeah, good, Christine. Good. I love that about you.
I really tried.
She tried.
You know what? Trying is worth it.
I looked at her and I go...
Didn't work out.
You got like 2 centimeters before you have to get that epidural, so I suggest you make that decision real quick. And like as she's hovering over a giant ball, not screaming, but moaning, and her husband's rubbing her back and looking at me like...
Hell, you know, like, what
he's like, no. I'm like going... Make that decision. She's like, okay. And so she got the epidural. She started bawling. Poor thing. Started bawling, crying because she was so disappointed in herself.
Oh, that's.
But I was like, you can't.
That's not cool.
Second birth, she's like, oh no, we're starting with the epidural.
I was like, I know what this is going to be like now. Let's just do this. Let's just get this baby
but
out.
But you did like a pool birth, right? Like a.
Well, Piper was born in water, and Rory, I labored in water some, but I actually had her on the living room floor.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So what happened?
But I'll tell you, you know, during it all, I have to tell you right about that point that you said to her, you better get the epidural. I did say to my midwife, I can see why at this point, if you have the option,
right,
you would take it. And I was, that was part of why I wanted to have a home birth. I didn't want the option.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be able to have that option. I just know, of course you would take it. It's very, very challenging what you're doing with your body in that moment. So,
especially if you have a cervix, it's like a lemon.
Yeah.
Party of one right here.
Yeah. He had to.
What do you mean like a lemon?
The doctor had to pry her cervix. It was
your cervix with his gorilla hand.
What's the wrong? It wasn't.
It was not open.
Why? I don't know.
That's bizarre.
He asked me if I had ever had cryogenics. And I was like, do you mean like when you go into those fat chambers and they freeze your fat? He's like, no. I mean, did you ever have like an abnormal pap or something that had to be like something had to be frozen? I said, no. It's like, I've never seen this before. But they do say a lot of women who have been dancers or gymnasts or ice skaters have a very strong pelvic floor. And sometimes, but I don't think that ever, you were a dancer for years.
Yeah.
You didn't have that issue.
No.
I think
no.
it's a mental thing.
But I had a long
too.
Super, it's a mental thing. It's a mental thing.
Yeah. I think you're like, your body's like going, okay, you were prepared to, like you had this, you and your fucking home births. I'm like going, I just think about going, it's crazy. Cause just watching, I mean, I am a professional doula and I just can't imagine like squatting in a pool and like go, you know, poor Gildert.
It was great. It was fantastic.
He loved
Rory
it.
Rory watched Piper come out of my body. She got herself the perfect spot. She just situated herself. She spent the whole 45 minutes. She slept through most of my labor. And then she spent the 45 minutes that she was awake, bringing all her toys out and putting them around the birthing tub.
How old was
amazing.
She?
She was 3 and a half.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
So she put all of her toys around the birthing tub and then she positioned herself perfectly so that she could watch Piper come out. And then there was a little balloon that had sort of deflated, but, you know, it was a healing balloon, but not completely. So it was sort of floating in the pool. And between contractions, she and I would pass the balloon back and forth. So she felt like she was really part of it all. That's and then amazing. When I would have a contraction, she would know I was like focusing and I'd have to focus. And then she just... Piper came out in water. She came out fast, whereas Rory was a very slow birth, sucking her thumb, coming down, just like just would not. I did 4 hours of pushing with her, 45 minutes of pushing with Piper. Piper just popped out.
You used the same midwife both times?
I had the same midwife, but I had a doula the first time and no doula the second time. Gildert was my doula the second time.
Yeah. Like Gildert know what you're doing.
Yeah, Gildert was amazing.
Yeah, my second time.
It was better without a doula, actually, because my doula stalled me for a good 13 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she told me I was progressing beautifully. And then she said, you know, I might have to leave for just a few minutes to check on another client down the hill, but I'll be back.
Oh, we
and
don't
my
double
body,
book when it
my
comes
body
to
went into fight or flight for 12 and a half hours.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Don't say the doula's
name. 12 and a half hours, I stalled at 6 centimeters. Did not move. My body was like, took that long to feel safe again to continue. So Piper, Rory was just like, okay, I'll just suck my thumb and hang out here until you're ready, Mom.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. Can you
but see, that would have been a moment in the hospital that they would have given me Pitocin. They would have probably wanted to have a C-section. It would have turned into a whole other thing.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, she had natural. Amazing. She was quick on both. Once you start pushing.
Once I started pushing, they
were
quick.
Well, she had a good doula that didn't say, I might have to leave for a few minutes.
That was me.
So that was
no,
you.
No, I was like, please leave for a few minutes.
But bump.
Yeah.
Wow, she gets one in.
Yeah, very good, very good.
So I want to go back in your career.
Okay.
Because I think there's a lot of roles you've had. You've had so many roles. I mean, if you look up Melora Hardin's Wikipedia, IMDb, the list goes on. You've got to scroll several times. You've worked so much. And there's so many roles that you have had that I don't think people know you've had. For instance, Dirty Dancing, the TV show.
Go ahead.
They put Baby in a corner, and that was you.
That's right. I was Baby.
I didn't even know they had Dirty Dancing, the TV series.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, we did only 6 episodes.
But, what network was that?
And CBS? CBS. Yeah, CBS.
That's incredible. 6 episodes. Who was the Patrick Swayze?
Patrick Cassidy.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
And did you have to dance and stuff for the audition? Was that part of it?
And he actually met his wife through that show because Constance Marie was on the show, and her very good friend was Melissa, who he ended up marrying.
Oh, wow.
A few years later.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool.
Even earlier than that, you did one of my favorite shows.
What's that?
Different Strokes.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was 12, at both of those shows, Dirty Dancing and Different Strokes, I had to pretend I couldn't dance. Both of those shows. In that one, Todd Bridges was teaching me to dance. And in Dirty Dancing, you know, Baby doesn't know how to dance.
Well, I heard about your Todd Bridges story.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, what you talking about, Willis? Yeah. Like, I would have been, I mean, do you want to?
I mean, come on. We all saw that coming, right? Right? I mean, he's a mess.
He's a hot mess.
He's
but
a
still,
mess.
I mean, Christine,
what's
obviously.
The story?
She had her Me Too moment with Todd Bridges.
Yeah,
but they were both young. They were both young.
I don't really consider it a Me Too movement. I will say. I'm a full advocate of the Me Too movement, but I don't consider this a Me Too moment because
he was 14.
He was 14. I was 12. He closed his dressing room door, turned out the light, jumped on top of me on his dressing room thing and stuck his tongue down my throat.
Ew.
I pushed him off, jumped up, and ran out.
But you had to have said, what you talking about, Willis?
I don't think I said that.
No, I would have.
But you know what? I wish I had thought of that because that would have been better than what I did.
That's terrifying.
And then she goes back on set and works, and of course she's a genius. I mean, you, when it comes to... You're very serious about your craft. You were saying earlier, you were very, I was always intimidated. Like I would never get up. I would avoid getting up doing an improv with you. Cause I was like, oh my God, this is going to be too much.
Oh, really? Would you? No, you used to love improvising.
Allow would
me.
Be like, oh, Diane's out this week. Oh, Melora's teaching. She's going to be really hard on us. Cause you would come
was
in
I
and
hard?
Teach for your mom sometimes.
Was
yeah,
I hard
I was
on you guys?
I was like, Melora, she don't play around.
Yeah. I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
I want you to do that. I didn't believe any of that.
That's
he would be like, oh no.
Fucking Melora.
Or when Jerry came in, when your dad.
Oh, Jerry, I would be like,
God,
I'm sick.
No. The worst. He's like the hardest of all the hard asses.
I have done some master classes. I've taught some master classes.
Oh, I bet.
Because I had a singing show for a while that you came. Didn't you come and see that?
It's Integral. No.
No, it was at the Catalina Jazz.
I saw your cabaret.
Yeah, you saw that. And then I took that around sort of to places and I would do a master class usually before or after
at
the theater. And
have you heard of masterclass.com?
What is it?
Masterclass.com.
No, what's that?
So for $180 a year
subscription,
you get a masterclass from professionals like you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can get Martha Stewart or
Annie Leibovitz.
Yeah, Annie Leibovitz to teach you a photo class. You could get
I'm trying to remember who else is
there's
in
a
it.
Famous
really
basketball
neat.
Player who teaches you to play basketball, whatever thing that you're interested in, they it's an online masterclass.
Wow.
It's really interesting, actually. That's cool. I think it's a good gift.
Yeah.
That is a good gift.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. Anyway, I would do like how to present a song, being that I had just done my performance the night before.
Did you ever do the Somewhere That's Green? You've got to revive that.
I don't think that was in my show.
If you ever do a cabaret again, you need to put that in there. I'm telling you.
All right.
It's genius.
I love that song. It's a beautiful song. Yeah.
It's genius the way she does it.
I have to.
Well, now you've set the bar so high. I have to go back and remember how I did it when I was 13.
I know. You weren't 13, girl.
I was like 17, right? I wasn't much older. I was like 17.
No, you were not. You were in your 20s. You were still.
I was?
Yes, you were. I think you were engaged to Gildert at the
time. No, I was not.
Well, you guys were on. And
I was
off.
Dating Gildert. Yeah. I still. Yeah, I met him 32 years ago.
Yeah,
God, it's crazy.
So we were dating on and off. Yes.
No, it was. You were older.
I have to talk about some other roles that. I've talked about some other roles that you've had. Because, as we say, like, so many times you get cast in something, either the show doesn't go, or you get recast. And you've had a couple of famous roles that unfortunately ended up getting recast for various reasons. One of my favorite movies of all time, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You were cast opposite Eric Stoltz when he had the role.
That's right. Yep.
And then he had to drop out. Why?
Well...
Or he got replaced.
Yes.
Did you film anything?
We did some photos, we did some like publicity stuff, pictures of us that was going to be like
gallery
on set.
Shoots.
Yeah, gallery shoots
oh my
stuff.
Gosh.
That was a sad moment.
I'm sure.
There's somebody online who did a really cool Back to the Future comic book. Which I contacted them, and it's all about, because Bob Gale and Bob Zemeckis had to call me at home, and Bob Gale basically says it's one of the hardest moments in his life to have to tell me that I was too tall for Michael J. Fox, and so they had to replace me. Now, here's what's really fascinating. You guys are going to get a little scoop that nobody knows about
yet. Go ahead.
Which is that there's a book coming out soon about Back to the Future, and the guy interviewed me, and he said, Bob Zemeckis and Bob Gale had no problem with you being taller than Michael J. Fox. It was the female executives that thought it emasculated their star to have a girlfriend taller than him. Now, I feel really good about that because I feel like that was in 1985 that we were making that movie. And... we're in 2019, 2018, when I did the interview with the guy last year. We've come a long way, baby.
Oh, 100%.
Like, that's what I want to say. You know, I don't think a female executive, and I really feel for the female executives, because I feel that they felt that was their, you know, and I've had to really take a look at this. Like, you know, how have I been shaped? You know, I'm 51 years old, so I grew up in this very male-dominated perception of things. And though I did not have anyone like jumping on me or, you know, raping me or attacking me or molesting me. I also will say that part of it is that, like, I remember meeting Harvey Weinstein when I was 20 something. And I remember him perusing me up and down. And I remember him basically deciding in that moment that I was invisible, because he probably could feel that I didn't want fame over my craft. And if you want fame bad enough, right? Mm-hmm. You can manipulate somebody. Now, I'm not making the victim at fault, but I am saying when you are weak somewhere, a bully, a predator will feel that will find that hole, will find that door, and will come in and will take those people that they can win with. They don't pick people that they can't manipulate.
Right. Which takes me to the story with Oliver Stone.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I'd been. I think I handled it okay, but I wish I'd been a little. I'd been a little like. I wish I'd been. I don't wish I'd been anything. No, it's just that I could do it now. I couldn't do it then. I couldn't.
And you should explain the story, but your comeback was perfect at that party when you re-met him.
Yeah, that was
because
good.
You let him know.
Yeah, I did.
And he knew already.
Yeah, he knew already. That's why
he
asked the question.
Do you want to tell Christine the story?
I do want to hear the story.
This episode of Worst Ever Podcast is sponsored by EveryPlate.com. With everyplate.com, you can experience full plates and fuller wallets. That's correct, people. Fuller wallets. Cha-ching, cha-ching. With America's best value meal kit. Mm-hmm, I know. You're probably skeptical, thinking these meal kits are very expensive. I was too, but then I got my box, and I have to tell you, I'm convinced you can get the same deliciousness now at a much lower price. Much lower. You got to just think of it this way. All right, just hear me out. One meal is the same price as a cup of coffee. That's correct. And I go to Starbucks, and now that I'm thinking about it, my Starbucks, my coffee is probably twice the amount as one meal. Mm-hmm. And every plate is easy to follow recipes, and it takes the stress out of dinner time. Who's got time to be stressed? And recipes come together in 30 minutes or less. So that's definitely, let's say, faster than going to the grocery store, because you can imagine the drive, the traffic, the parking, the checkout lines, the coupons, the yada yada. And what happens when you're at the grocery store? I know what happens to me is I overbuy, I overspend, and a lot of that food ends up going to waste, and I just have to throw it away. You're not going to have that issue with everyplate.com, because it does the planning, it does the shopping, it does the prepping for you. It takes the time-consuming guesswork out of cooking, and I love that. So I get my box. It's perfectly packaged. The veggies, the meats, the pastas, the sauces, the herbs, it's all there. And it's an easy-to-follow recipe, because what I did was laid it out. I turned on my music. I chopped and I boiled and I pan fried and I made this delicious linguine dish, which I shared with my friend. And I turned out, she thought I was like some sort of gourmet chef. And all in my head, all I could think about was like, this was so inexpensive and she has no idea. But now I'm sharing it with the world. I'm sharing it with you guys. And as a podcast listener, you can receive free shipping off your first delivery, making the cost of your box around $20. That's right, $20 for 6 free meals across your first 3 weeks and free shipping on your first delivery. Go to everyplate.com and enter code word worst, WORST, and the number 6. That's everyplate.com and enter worst 6. I'm going to tell you one more time. Get on your computers and start ordering now. Everyplate.com. Enter code WORST6. WORST6. I'm going to say this to you, and listen to me. You're going to get 18 full meals for $3.33 a piece if you order the two-person plan, and or you can just get 36 full meals for $4.16 a piece for the four-person plan. I'm begging you to try this out. It's so good. Everyplate.com. Enter code WORST6. WORST6. Thank you, Everyplate. My mouth is watering. So wait, you have to tell Christine about the Oliver Stone story.
Okay. So, well, I auditioned for him twice. Once for Wall Street when I was about 17 or something. And once for The Doors.
Yes.
And the Wall Street one, I walked in and he probably had already, you know, seen Daryl Hannah and chosen her, because I walked in and he was like, hi. And he just was flipping through, you know, looking at my resume bag, go ahead. And he just never looked up once. And it was the whole, it's like a monologue that she has. I can't even remember, you know, the movie, but it was like a monologue where you're standing there and I can't do that. I remember just sort of plopping my hands on the desk at one point, because it had that in the...
On his desk?
Yeah, on his desk. Like,
go ahead.
Like, yeah. And he like kind of looked up and then, you know, and then sat back and sort of gave me a little attention. It was basically the end of the thing. And he was like, okay, thanks. And I left. But the Doors audition was, you know, it was basically the scene where they're in bed and the woman just has to be making orgasmic sounds the whole scene. That's the scene. The scene is like, I don't even remember, but I just remember thinking when I was reading it, like, this is just so fucked up. And I thought, okay, well, this is the scene they're going to give me. Then I'm going to go in there and I'm going to just have a full on orgasm, like on the, like, I was just like,
I go 110%. I'm a serious actor.
Exactly. Talk about commitment, you know. Yeah. I'm
but
like,
of all the scenes they picked.
Oh, it was just so obnoxious. Right. And they had a reader there who was reading with the girls, with all the girls. And at the end of the scene, he's like, yeah, you two sit down. And we sat down, and and he starts talking to the guy. The guy's the reader.
The reader.
And he's basically giving him direction. He's like, so I kind of think when you do the scene, you should, you know. And he's like giving him all this stupid stuff. And he says, I don't even think he says anything to me. Let's try it again. And I'm like, really? We're going to try it again? We have to do it again? You know, like, then I think I just gave you a really good orgasm. I don't think I need to do it again. But we did it again. And then I saw him at a party probably 10 years later, 15 years later. And it was a very small party, intimate party. And he, you know, was introduced to me by the hostess. And he said, oh, yeah, I feel like I've met you before. I said, oh, yeah, you've met me. I've read for you a couple times. And he's like, oh, yeah. Was I an asshole? I said, you were totally an asshole. And he said, oh, and he blushed from like head to toe. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, yeah, just don't ever do that to anybody again, because it was really unpleasant.
I love that.
Awesome.
And I walked away. And then at the end of the party, we were all leaving and he was leaving. And he was like, bye. And I was like, bye.
Damn, wow. Gina.
Damn, Gina.
Speaking of auditions, real quick, Melora, the room, the waiting room. Mm-hmm. Who was your competition? Like, who would you always run into that's like famous? Or
right. Well, Laura Dern and I were up against each other a lot, and she's fabulous. And sometimes Helen Hunt and I too would see each other.
Yeah, I could see that.
And who else was in that circle? I mean, Brenda Strong and I used to be, and we're friends. And yeah, I mean, I've been friends with all these ladies. They're wonderful. Yeah, I think that's. I mean, as far as the people that have gone on and succeeded, there were a lot. There were other women, young ladies, or girls too.
It's so different now. Obviously, obviously, you're not auditioning as. I mean, I'm sure if there's like a major motion picture, they might have you come in and meet the director.
Yeah. If there's something that's very different that they've never ever seen me do, you know.
But like I think. Nowadays, I think actors don't get that same experience. A lot of it's on tape now from home. They're not getting that same experience as we did in that whole
sitting in that room, seeing all your competition.
Yeah. I was so excited. One of the things I was so excited about when I directed my episode of The Goldbergs was that, I'm going to be able to sit with the actors who are going to come on to co-star and guest star. And I'm so excited to sit in the audition. I love that process.
Yeah, so fun.
And to be able to give notes and to, you know, to just to be with the actors and also give them a pleasant auditioning experience.
Exactly.
And we were in our tone meeting and, and they very rarely do auditions that way for that show.
Really?
They have people either self-tape and they just send in the tapes and you pick from tapes. Or they have people that they just, let's give it to so-and-so. Oh, we know this person. Because they have so many comedians and friends of the show. And that I was like, oh, man. That was one of the things I was all so excited about.
Well, the show that I'm working on now with Alyssa.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at all the reels now
to cast.
They didn't
even tape auditions. You're just looking at reels.
She's like, and Alyssa goes, well, I want to see them read. And I go, well, it's the presentation, so we're obviously going to recast. And that's when we'll do that. But, you know, budget-wise, we're not going to be holding multiple auditions. But it's so interesting. It's so interesting to be on this side of it and go, yeah, I like her, but, you know, and I'm going, like, I just got a note just a few minutes ago, like, this person's not available. What do you think of this person? You know, I'm like, oh, great, you know, whatever. But it's fascinating being on this side. And speaking of this side, you're doing a documentary.
I am. I'm directing a documentary. Yeah, I also remember when I was made our movie, Gilder and I made a movie together called You. And I remember that also being on that side. It was my first time directing. And I was sitting on that other side, as you said. And it's fascinating how really good actors can come through, but they're just not right for the part.
I know.
And it was really between two guys for one of our leads in the movie. And I called the other, like I wanted to reach out to him because he was so good. He was just too much of a man to play opposite who we had, who was Allison Mack.
We're going to talk about that in a second. It always comes back to Allison Mack.
It
Our
does.
World always comes back so to Allison sad. Mack. It's not sad, it's reality, and we're going to talk about it.
Okay, what year was you?
2009.
Okay.
So everyone, right? We can find that still, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get it. You have to see it. It's, and you get to see Allison, because we talk about Allison
she's
all the time.
She's so wonderful in
the movie. She's such an amazing actor.
She's wonderful in the movie.
We talk wonderful things about her.
And she's a wonderful person. I mean, she's like this, I loved, my mother managed her.
Of course.
From the time she was 8 years old.
She's a prodigy of Diane Hill Hart. She's one of us.
She's a wonderful.
We talk about her all the time.
A lovely person comes from a lovely family.
We want her on the podcast. I got her mother's number. I found her mother's address. I wanted to go knock on the door.
They're so sweet, that family.
Christine won't let me.
Well, I just said maybe give it some time.
Yeah, I think maybe give it a minute. Yeah, give it a minute, honey.
Have more pressing issues. It's like you know, breaking into the jail cell. I think we're just going to just calm down.
She might need to start working with Chad.
Yeah, I think she needs some,
that would be a good way to bring Chad in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I
Chad
can help
and Allison
too,
and you
I think
together.
She should just come clean on this podcast.
Well, because you're a doula and also an expert.
Yeah.
When you did that movie, I don't think she was as far deep. I think she was...
Was she in Smallville at the time when you did the movie?
She was doing Smallville.
Okay.
I think she'd probably started some of the...
She had a very strange boyfriend at that time.
Oh, it was the rock and roll guy?
The rock and roll?
No, he was an artist, I think.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it was... Maybe we made the movie a little earlier than that. I could be wrong. It could be 2000. I thought it was 2009, but it could be wrong. It might be more like 2005. Wait a minute. Let me think about it. Rory was born in 2001. Oh, yeah, that's right. So it was more like 2001, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
2005.
Because she was 4. It was 2005 that we did it.
Oh, yeah.
So she was on Smallville, but she had a boyfriend who was an artist who... seemed to be kind of mooching off of her, as
well,
far
she
as I could
tended
tell.
To, we always disagreed with her boyfriends.
Yeah. Didn't go well when you would. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But have you been reading the articles and stuff?
Not lately. My mom sends me stuff.
I mean.
I don't really keep up. What's going on now? What's the update?
Well, now they're saying, the latest article that I saw is now they're saying that the judge is... What's the word?
Possibly denying the defense fund
because it's coming from someone who might be also being
indicted for these same charges.
Because they have this unlimited amount of money that's helping them out because they're part of that whole cult.
Oh, her and the guy?
Well, there's two women who are also involved.
From the Seagrams
family. And so they're like socialites that have a lot of family money.
Like billions.
Claire Bronfman and her sister.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so they've been the ones sort of bolstering the defense fund all these years. So when anyone would come out and say something negative against Nexium or Jeunesse, they would basically go after that person to a degree of just filing multiple lawsuits.
Very much like the Scientology.
And basically like almost bankrupting people because they had to defend themselves even if the lawsuits were BS.
Yeah, right.
So they've done
allegedly.
Allegedly. Not people have come out and told their stories.
But allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly, this is what they've done. So because of all these defense funds, you know, I guess that's who has been, you know.
But she's like ankle monitor. She's got like ankle bracelet. She has to fly back and forth for
very
all
strange
well
set of circumstances.
Well, what's killing me is like why she's not folding and like
maybe she is and we don't
well
don't
maybe she is we don't know I mean I want to go to the court I want to go to the trial. I'm obsessed.
Do you remember when he was going like guys you have to go to OJ? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I got the whole acting class. I got into the trial, Melora. I'm not a moron.
You got in?
Yes.
It was a lottery system.
Literally... So I had the idea of like...
Selling t-shirts and hot dogs outside.
No. I had the idea of like, it was me, Patrick Day, Chad, all of us. Remember Christian, who was like a Chippendale, curly black hair?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he was a Chippendale?
He was a Chippendale.
God, he's in the wrong class.
Because he lived with me and Patrick Day and all the and Donnie Jeffcoat and everybody. I saw Donnie Jeffcoat in New Orleans a couple years ago. He was on vacation. I was on vacation. Yeah, he's teaching like jiu-jitsu.
He's got a dojo.
He's a dojo, whatever.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
He owns a dojo.
We have to have a reunion. Okay. So, no, Christian.
We really do. You know what we need to do? We need to just get together and do some mirrors.
Oh.
Yes, mirror exercises.
And some machines.
Oh, my God. Oh,
my favorite. Diamond mirror
and then
machines.
Maybe some entrances and exits, and no, we'll be good.
Yeah, I'd love it.
He used to rehearse. His song was Fire, Fire. You know that song?
Yes.
But he was dressed in a fireman's outfit. So he would rehearse in the house. And he
Wait,
would,
his Chippendale song was Fire?
Yes, his Chippendale song
oh
was Fire.
Oh, my God.
He would rehearse in the house, and he would be like, he go.
We're getting visuals right now, guys.
Through the acting class, he learned sense memory, right?
Yeah.
So he would rehearse it with sense memory, like going, he would go, okay, I'm going to grab the hose. And he would talk himself through it as he'd be like, fire, and feel the heat, and feel the heat, and grab the hose.
He's grabbing
fire.
The hose. He's lifting the hose.
I feel the heat.
He's doing a little move like with his hips.
Anyway, Patrick
and
Day
holding
and I,
the hose.
We would die. We would fucking die laughing, going, this guy is a complete moron. And we're living with him because we're all struggling actors. Me, Donnie Jeffco, Patrick Day, Darcy, like just crazy. Everyone's struggling actors or whatever. Anyway, I'm obsessed with Trials. So I told Christine, I told this poor kid.
What time is it, by the way?
Oh, I just need to know. 11:47.
Oh, okay.
What time did it be? One?
Well, no, I was going to meet somebody for lunch down the hill.
Oh, we'll wrap it up.
We'll wrap it up.
So just like, if
yeah.
I could.
We'll wrap it up. All right, it's fine. Whatever,
10 or
lunch.
15 minutes.
So I'm obsessed with Trials, so I want to go see the Allison Mack trial.
Okay.
God.
Plus, I want to like go, hey, I'm here. You know,
right,
see if she remembers me.
Yes, yes.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I think that, yeah.
Yeah, I feel very
well,
sad.
Well, she's obviously was. Fully brainwashed.
Oh, 100%.
Because we knew her when.
Yes.
Exactly.
And she was fully brainwashed, guys. I mean, brainwashing is a real thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't make you guilty of whatever you did when you were brainwashed, but brainwashing is brainwashing.
Well, and as you said
I mean, that
earlier,
guy is like, you just watched that one thing that I know is on YouTube with the two of them where she cries and says, like, I want that.
I said that's and Diane Harden.
Well,
that's acting.
No, I didn't feel like she was acting. I actually felt like he, if you listen to him and you've done as much therapy and life coaching as I've done, the guy says nothing. He's saying nothing. He never says anything. He just talks in this way that sounds very eloquent and very calming and clear. And he's saying absolutely nothing that has any meaning. And she is absolutely, I don't think she's acting. I think she is absolutely sucked in.
There's a moment where she wipes a tear and she goes, I don't know why I'm crying.
But she's not faking it, Alash. She's totally... She's totally suckered. She's suckered. She really feels like this is genius. And I'm telling you, if you just listen to it for 1 second,
right,
the guy
it.
Literally says nothing. He says nothing. It's unbelievable what he's doing.
Has your mom talked to her parents at all?
I think she's reached out. I don't think Ooh. Anyone. I don't think anyone's calling back.
Yeah, that's why we need to go knock on the door.
We're here for you. We feel bad.
Allison Mack, if you're listening,
Sorry.
Come on the show. Let's talk about it.
We'll
get you a legal fund through a Venmo or
a GoFundMe.
A GoFundMe.
How's that working out for your team?
It's not great.
Okay. How much money have you made for your team?
Like $300. You guys, GoFundMe.com/ Alaa's New Grill. ALAASNEWGRILL.
On a banister. It's a whole thing.
Bottom tooth.
How did you do that?
I fell down. I mean, I was carrying laundry and fell down the stairs or up the stairs. And I tripped on the stairs. I fell up the stairs and landed on a banister. And not, yes.
Knocked
anyway,
out three teeth.
Oh,
yeah,
honey.
You can go to my GoFundMe.
I will.
.com.
I will. I'll just give you $20 here before I leave.
No,
go.
It's got to be at least 50.
What?
Come on, Laura. Fuck, $20.
I'll give you 50. A little bit. Every
show.
Little bit counts.
You're on every show in America. What are you talking about?
right.
Wait, so I want to, before we go.
I love how everybody
go,
thinks
want,
that that means that you're like super
so
rich.
I don't care, Tesla drive-in lady.
you know what? I get some toys.
I know. So, a new house in Montreal, new house in California. Whatever. Private jet. Go ahead.
Private jet.
Yeah.
Wait, I just want to point out, though, you were nominated for an Emmy.
I know. Is that cool?
That is so cool.
Who dressed
cool.
you?
An amazing stylist. Can't remember.
You can't
name.
Remember. It's all right.
What
I'm
is her name?
Just wondering.
She was so good.
I know, but like the were
that
like
dress
people
was
like
so
trying
beautiful.
To get yeah.
But
yeah.
Here's the problem with the dress.
What happened?
we didn't test the dress, which had to be, which was like totally rebuilt, right? Basically, they rebuild these dresses to make them just fit you like a glove.
Right.
So I'm there at the Emmys and I go to the bathroom.
Stop it.
I cannot lift the dress over my hips to go to the bathroom.
Oh no.
And it has a corset inside of a zipper inside of a, and it is like, it's this is like a three-man job to get right. this dress on me. And I cannot get it up over my hips to go pee.
No.
So I literally had to go out and get my co-star on Transparent, Amy Landecker. We've now had two bathroom award show dramas that we've had, that she's had to help me out with.
No.
She had to come back to the bathroom with me and completely undo my dress, my zipper, my corset, the whole thing to the floor, wait in the bathroom with me so I could pee naked, and then the whole thing back on again, the corset, the zipper, the whole thing.
This is the glamour, people.
It was the glamour, yeah. And the other one was at the SAG Awards. I had this huge, beautiful train, this gorgeous Monique Lhuillier dress. Oh, so beautiful. That was a Marc Jacobs dress, by the way, for the Emmys. But anyway, this was a beautiful Monique Lhuillier dress. And it was so gorgeous. And it was this giant train. And so after you walk the red carpet, you want to tie the train up. Right. And it has right. all these little ties
hooks
underneath
ties. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
to do it. And then it looks like this beautiful,
bustle.
Fluffy, gorgeous bustle thing. Bustle. Thank you. And not fuffle, but bustle. And anyway, I couldn't find the little ties anywhere under the... It was so much
it's
fabric.
Like a
wedding it was
dress.
Like a comedy.
Yeah.
It was
no,
just
no, no.
like...
Yeah, yeah.
So Amy had to come in the bathroom and she had to sit on the floor in the bathroom and
she's
tie
like,
all
she's
little,
like, for this.
What about me?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm in the show
well,
too.
She wears
you know?
Very simple yeah. dresses. I don't know. Yeah. Her dresses are not as complicated
she's like,
as
why am I here? Get an assistant.
But you know, we
yeah,
only,
so we have a big joke about that.
We only like having losers on this show.
Yeah.
So we, only people that have been nominated but have not won.
That's
perfect. That's Tony
well, here's
losers.
The thing. I asked to put it out in the universe. So like, I really wanted to get nominated. I forgot to ask to win. I forgot to put that out.
You know,
I just forgot that part. And next time I'm going to. But here's the thing. This is a real injustice. And since we're talking about for worst ever,
right.
that's the title of your... It's an injustice. It's an injustice to... You know, Amy Poehler had been nominated like 13 times.
Right.
So how do you get Amy Poehler to win? You put her on a ticket with Tina Fey because Tina
right.
Fey wins every time
right.
she's nominated.
Right.
And that's how you assure her win. Now, I'm not saying Amy Poehler doesn't deserve a win. She's
100%.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
She of course does. But I also think, and forget that, forget that injustice.
Category?
I don't think it's fair to have two mega comedians on
right.
a ticket, one ticket. I think that's not cool, number one. But number two, I don't think it's cool to put the mega comedian superstars who are guesting on
yes.
Saturday Night Live with the actors who are creating arcs on shows
right.
that is a completely different skill set.
That's what I'm saying. It should be
totally
different
categories. Totally different skill set. One should be called sketch comedy
correct.
Guest star.
Go ahead.
And one should be called guest star.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Academy, if
right?
you're listening.
Academy.
I mean, I'm going to write them a letter because
you
it
should.
Happened the year after me too. It was like three mega super comedian stars, Amy Schumer and Tina Fey and Amy Poehler on one ticket. And, what's her name? The dark haired, amazing comedian who is very funny. What's her name?
Melissa McCarthy?
Melissa McCarthy.
That,
those are the three giant mega comedians.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it was like me and Laurie Metcalf and Allison Janney. Like three, wonderful actresses who are creating arcs on TV shows.
So totally,
totally different skill set,
totally
guys. I'm going to write. And then that happened to the next, same thing. Three actors, three mega comedians.
How many times have you been nominated?
No. It happened the next year to whoever the next
right.
people were. It
Did
was
you know,
just not fair.
My agent has submitted me for choreography for the Emmys. Choreography, they do not only for everything in that's submitted to the Emmys, it's in the same category for choreography as like if I were to do the Goldbergs and say Schooled, if I did
what?
Two or three things, those are in the same category as So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, come on.
That's two completely different
totally
things.
Different skill sets. You're choreographing for dancers or you're choreographing
actors.
For actors who are just moving.
Who are just moving and doing like comedic moments. It's
okay,
a totally
that's insanity.
Yeah. And I can't compete with that.
No,
well, like
of course
I'm not.
You're never going to win that.
No,
never.
You know what's great that's happening now, I think, also, is I think a lot of the talent, including actors and dancers and musicians or whatever, they're sort of taking over the award shows in the sense of like, it's, I think things are going to start changing slowly. They're seeing a decline in viewership with these award shows because people are getting pissed off on how they're handling. It's just,
but I don't think they know. I don't think the audience knows.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in general, like for instance, what Ariana Grande did with the Grammys, like mm-hmm. she boycotted, did not show up and she, we're starting to take a little more control. Real quick question. Is there going to be a reboot of The Office? I've heard talks.
I've heard that there is, but I haven't been. Okay.
Would you come back as Jan?
I mean, maybe like for some special thing. To be honest,
Did you not like that job?
Oh my God, I loved it. No, but I mean, I'm working, guys. I'm doing other things. I can't come back.
We're going to make time for you.
But here's the thing. I actually think that they should do a movie of The Office 100%. Rather than a reboot of the TV show because you're not going to get, you know, Michael Scott, you're not going to get Steve Carell, you're not going to get Ed Helms, you're not going to get John Krasinski, you're not going to get a lot of these people. Yeah.
Unless it's a movie.
If it's a movie, everyone comes back.
Right, and it'd be like the Sex and the City of The Office.
Yeah, they should do. Yeah, have they done that with a comedy TV show? No, I think we should do it with The Office.
Do the same thing with Seinfeld.
It would be genius.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
I agree.
He's so funny.
And then real quick, your documentary. What is this about? What are you doing in it? When is it coming out?
Oh gosh, it's a really hard thing to pitch in 5 minutes. Maybe I should come back and tell you about it when it's done and when we like get it into Sundance and all that, which
that
is what
you
I'm
like
fingers
back
crossed.
Here?
Yeah, because I love you guys.
Oh,
I love you guys. I'll be like a recurring guest star on your show.
You know who's our recurring legal advisor?
Who?
Stacey Keenan.
Oh,
because she's
okay.
A lawyer now.
Oh my God.
So every time we talk Allison Mack or any like legal stuff, like OJ, things like that I'm obsessed with,
yes,
we bring her on just to keep
it level. Yeah. Like left, so, right, and center.
Make sure that we're saying allegedly.
We say allegedly a lot during that because I'm so scared of being sued. Like there's moments where like we're getting sued. Oh. But I'm like allegedly.
Just
and
keep
so
saying
it's
allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Okay. Well, Melora, thank you so much for coming on.
Melora Hardin, where can we find you on Freeform?
All the socials.
Yes, on what am I on? I'm on Instagram at Melora D. Hardin, and I'm on Twitter just Melora Hardin.
Right. And I saw that Chrissy Teigen tweeted
you. Oh my God, she's so cool.
How fun is that?
Isn't that amazing? I know.
I heard she like gagged. She was so excited that you... Chrissy Teigen was having a really bad day, I guess.
Yeah,
and so she put on an old episode of The Office, and I guess her favorite episode is the dinner party episode.
Yes.
So she tweeted this whole thing, and then Melora tweeted back to her, and Chrissy Teigen freaked out.
Oh,
she was like,
God,
she
I
couldn't believe
it.
That Melora tweeted her.
So
you got to go on her lip sync show.
You got to do that.
What's
you got to go on
show?
Lip sync battle.
Are you kidding? Lip sync battle? It's so up
you
your
guys,
alley.
You guys, I'm so not cool. I'm so not cool. I don't know anything about pop culture.
We need to get you.
You guys need to keep me cooler.
Yeah, you need to tell your agents that you want to go on lip sync.
Everyone right now needs to go on Twitter. They need to tweet at Melora Hardin and Chrissy Teigen and get her on
lip sync battle.
What is lip sync battle, guys? Before
I'm going to show you a little clip of it in a minute.
Well, and Danielle, let's just talk to Danielle Fishel.
But that's the rap show. Oh. Let's get her on lip sync battle first, and then we can work on Danielle Fishel's show.
Okay, fine.
Calm down.
Let's get her on all the. I want her just to be.
I
on
need
all
her
of
to be a little
shows.
More hip. Not so like your kids don't teach you anything. Are they not allowed to watch TV? Are they just reading weird books? Do they have a Kindle? What's happening? Do they have any technology at the house? I know you're like gluten free with the kids, or no sugar, or you do something weird like with the food thing. You grow your own. Herb. What are you doing with this?
I'm a total earth mama.
Yeah,
it's true.
I know. She's like all natural. I remember like the best part, I used to go to their house for like holiday parties and the gin fizzes.
The gin fizzes.
Delicious.
Yeah. Gin fizzes.
And then all of a sudden she went all natural and gluten free and all the weird. It's like, I can't. I have that stomach. What is it called? I'm in celiac disease. The whole bit. Like, I was like, what's happening here? Yeah. Yeah.
You are on a tear right now. Okay. Let's get her out of here before you get in lunch with another
lunch meeting. It's going to be some gluten-free restaurant with sprouts.
Listen to the baby noises real quick.
Baby.
Do some baby noises.
Baby. Boop, boop, boop. It's just the breathing.
Oh,
the baby breathing is
baby
so
breathing.
Cute.
Okay. All right,
Melora, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You can follow us at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC on Twitter. I'm Yo Lakin.
Yeah, I'm Alec Led. Don't ask.
And Rob?
You can find me at para.jpg. Help me get para. There's somebody in like Mexico or something who is swatting at She hasn't posted. Just send her messages. Send her angry. I'm not saying to send her death threats, but just do it.
What? Okay, Rob, take it easy. Leave the anger. Leave the anger to me, dude.
Okay. We'll get you your name, Rob. We'll get you your name.
Okay, just get your name.
Yeah.
All right. You can email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com.
Allegedly,
thanks again,
by
Laura.
The way, Rob.
Thank you. Loved seeing you guys.
Bye. Thank you.